Shalom Aleichem, good evening, everybody. Thank you all for coming. So we're going to talk about waiting after hard cheese, aged cheese, whatever types of cheese. It's a little more complicated than it sounds, so that's why I don't have an exact title you can include it in. We know that there's a portion of Machlokes, two different shitas, or the hold of both of them, in terms of what the reason is, what the factors are that make us have to wait after having Gevina Kasha, the way the Ramah phrases it in Pei Tes Beis, Gevina Kasha before having meat afterwards, having flesh afterwards. So the Shach, you know, mentioned his idea of it's waiting it's six-month age. The cheese is aged 6 months, waiting after that. That's what the Shach mentions. The Taz quotes that, but he mentions also Mesulas, and cheese adds a Mashiach's Tam to it. The Mashiach's Tam, a strong flavor, potent flavor, you have to wait afterwards. So we see these two reasons already emanating. We have Machlokus, we know Rashi and the Rambam, after having Basar before Chalav, what's the Pshat? Why do you have to wait after having Basar before Chalav? So Rashi and Chulin says the Mashiach's Tam. There's Moshech, the Tam of the Shuman, Sheba Basar, Chulin, Kufay, Amad Aleph. And therefore, you have to wait however long, 6 hours, however we wait, after having the flesh before milchi because of the Mashiach's Tam. That's Rashi, Rambam, at the end of Perek Tes Machal Suros, we know, mentioned Basar Ben Shvena Shinayim. That's the reason to wait afterwards. So both of these reasons enter as factors into waiting after cheese, hard cheese, whatever, aged cheese, before meat. Again, the Shach mentions the idea, Pashas, like Basar Ben Shinayim, the hardness, the brittleness of the cheese. The Taz favors the reason of Mashiach's Tam. The Prima Gadim says both reasons pertain. We should be machmer for both reasons. Cheese that has kasha, bein hashinayim type of quality, it sticks to the teeth, as well as cheese that's very pungent, that Mashiach's Tam, a flavor to it, a very extreme, potent flavor. We have to wait. Chokhm Sodom takes both reasons as well. The Aruch HaShulchan favors the reason of Gevina Ben Hashanayim, but really both reasons he brings in. So we're waiting for two reasons. We're waiting for cheese that is hard, sticks to the teeth, doesn't come out easily, like Basar Ben Hashanayim, Gevina Ben Hashanayim, and also cheese that has Mashiach's Tam, a very strong potency to it. So let's talk about the Metzius, what's going on here. So we have to be mechalek. These are two totally different types of cheeses. The person says that's aged cheese, you have to wait. What does that mean exactly? It's not just stam, it's aged, and therefore it's old. We have to know exactly what we're talking about. So cheese becomes hard. Gevina kasha, 6 month cheese, from dehydration. Cheese has moisture, it's called whey. Whey is the moisture in cheese. The longer cheese is left out to age, even if it's packaged, it can still age, it loses moisture. Cheese gets dehydrated, it loses moisture, that creates a brittle texture to the cheese. Even if the cheese doesn't have a strong flavor to it, it might have a strong flavor as well, we'll get into that soon, but cheese that has been aged because it loses moisture, dehydrates, that gives the brittle flavor to it. Therefore, there are cheeses such as, we'll get into it a little soon hopefully, sharp cheddar, aged cheddar, a lot of certain types of Swiss cheese, certain Parmesans, they're aged very long. They're aged 10 months, a year, or sometimes several years. But they don't have the strongest flavor to them. There's no Mashiach's Tam, but there is age. The Gevina Kasha, it's a Vav Chadashim, more than Vav Chadashim. That's the type of cheese which is Bein HaShinayim. That cheese we'd be waiting for. So again, the most common example we'd come across probably is the aged cheddar. Aged cheddar, they call it sharp cheddar. It's not, it might have a strong flavor, but it might not. But still, it's a Vada aged, it's 6 months, more than 6 months. Sometimes you can even find specialty cheeses, cheddar, 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year cheddars. They don't have kosher versions of them, but if they ever would, that's the type of cheese to wait after, forgetting about the flavor, just because of the Bein HaShinayim quality. Like, it's being a kosher ad ma'od. There's also Mashiach's Tam. Mashiach's Tam, even though it's true, aging cheese will cultivate a Mashiach's Tam, but it's not necessary to age it so long to create that Mashiach's Tam. I'll give an example. Well, before we even get into that, how did the Mashiach's Tam develop? Just scientifically, chemically, how does it develop? Mashiach's Tam is very complicated. If you talk to cheesemakers, looking cheesemaking literature, you'll see there are various processes that go on. One, the most common one, is the conversion of lactose, which is the sugar, the natural sugar that Hashem puts in milk, natural milk sugar, dairy sugar, is converted by the cultures, the cheese cultures, into lactic acid. So lactose, which is sweet, has a sweet flavor to it, it's sugar, gets converted into lactic acid. The longer the cultures are in the cheese, working the cheese, even after cheese has been packaged, the cultures will still work in the cheese. That cheese will have its lactose converted into lactic acid and will have a very acidic flavor. It's not going to be acidic like vinegar. You can't eat it, but it's going to have a certain tartness to it. I mean, that's one thing. There's also a process called proteolysis, which means that the proteins in the cheese break down into smaller groups, into smaller proteins. You'll have long. You know, normally, to make cheese is made by taking the casein protein. That's the main protein in cheese. Casein protein, and it forms a matrix and attaches together. It's like a block. Basically, cheese is a matrix of casein protein with fat trapped within it. That's what cheese is. And the longer it ages, there's a breakdown of these proteins into smaller amino acid groups, however that works, and there's a very strong, potent taste that comes out. Again, it's not so strong you say, I'm going to burn my mouth out. I don't mean strong like that, but it has a certain pungency to it. So that's another thing, the proteins themselves breaking down. The third thing is called lipolysis, which is when the fat, all cheese has fat, the fat in the cheese, when it breaks down, it has a very, very tart, very strong flavor to it. Certain cheeses use lipase. You might have heard the word lipase. Lipase is an enzyme that breaks down fat. You can take cheese, you don't even have to age really, put lipase into the milk to make the cheese, and it attacks the fat, and it breaks down the fat, and it has a very strong flavor. A lot of the cheese that are used for cheese powders, Derhagov, or cheeses that are used in not usually for kosher, but we can call it enzyme modified cheese. They use them for cheese snacks. They use them for cheeses for these restaurants that want to serve, or cheap restaurants they want to serve like a very strong flavor for cheese. They have lipase. Lipase breaks down the fat. So all these things create a mashiachas tam in the cheese, whether it's the amino acid breaking down, whether it's the fat breaking down, different ways to the cheese is a mashiachas tam. It doesn't necessarily take a long time to do it. I'll give you an example. My Asher Belsky, so many years ago, he used to come to the OU originally Wednesday and Thursday, and Rav Palm was nifter, so he came only on Thursdays to the OU, but he came many years when I posted him to the OU, and I asked him about waiting after certain cheeses. So there's one cheese we started certifying. It was being made in Denmark, Danish blue cheese called Dana blue cheese or Dana blue cheese, and it was aged about 2.5 months. And I asked Rebelsky, a consumer calling, wanted to know if they have to wait. I wouldn't get near the stuff. It has this, like, you know, the blue mold stuff. Some people like it. I probably wouldn't touch it. But either way, I asked him. He says, he knew cheese. I don't know. He was so piquant in cheeses. I don't know from where he got it. But he said, have the consumer, if it has a certain pungency, they'd have to wait. I said, it's only aged 2.5 months. It doesn't make a difference. It's the mashiachas tam itself. The aging is not a factor. And so that's the thing. A lot of these cheeses, they can be aged a much shorter time. Enzyme-modified cheese is not aged really long at all. But it has a strong, pungent flavor. Mashiachas tam, you have to wait for that. A few examples of aged cheese, stam, just the age itself. I mentioned aged cheddar, Romano. Romano is aged 5 to 7 months. I asked Rebelsky also about these types of things. Not about Romano Dafka. I asked him. He says, Vav Chadashim is not a shear per se. It's around Vav Chadashim, an approximation. As long as aged 5 months, you can wait 6 months, 7 months. Approximation. Romano cheese, Parmesan. Parmesan, by definition, has to be aged. Somebody, Der Hagev, called me from Muncie a few months ago. A few people called me from there, and they said that they came across cheese in pizzerias or pizza parlor restaurants, and it's Parmesan. It says not aged, and I don't know what to make of it, because either it's a Parmesan flavor, it's not real regular Parmesan, or it's mislabeled, because Parmesan by law must be aged 10 months. You cannot legally put on the label Parmesan cheese not aged 10 months. So that's something to be aware of. If you ever see such a thing, you should think twice. Either it's not real Parmesan, or it's mislabeled. But those are examples of it. Also, there's a lot of exotic Italian cheese. Even though these cheeses we don't come across in the stores, but there are a lot of companies now that are getting hashkacha, good hashkachas, that are making these exotic cheeses that you can't even pronounce the names of these. I can't. But a lot of these Italian cheeses, you have to look into them, because they actually have their mamish age a long time, like gorgonzola cheese, like that. They're making kosher versions of this now. There are a lot of strange Italian cheese, exotic Italian cheeses. In terms of mashiachas tam, blue cheese, Danish blue cheese, or Belsky's Phelps is maybe borderline, you have to sample it, but real blue cheese, Roquefort, which is the real blue cheese, that is a real mashiachas tam. I've never had, I don't want to have it, but apparently, if you look in the culinary literature, it's a real potent, real pungent, one of the most pungent cheeses on these lists of cheeses that have a strong flavor. That would definitely qualify. Aged white cheddar, regular aged cheddar, maybe not, but aged white cheddar somehow has a stronger flavor to it. The cheeses have the mold on the outside. Brie, Camembert cheese, these are very pungent cheeses. One would have to wait after those. There's some mashiachas tam for those. And again, these cheeses are not necessarily aged very long. They're not aged necessarily 6 months. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But without the aging, you'll still achieve the same mashiachas tam thing to it. Certain goat cheeses can have a very strong flavor. They're not aged long at all. I deal with goat cheese companies. These are fresh cheeses, but they're very, very potent in their flavor. So those are that's just the basic categories of it. What about grated or shredded cheese? So I asked Rybelski about this. Very often, if you go to real Parmesan, if you go to a pizza place, they have the real thing about Parmesan, but it's grated or shredded. It's little tiny bits of Parmesan. Rybelski told me, yes, one should wait after that, even though it's not, you're not biting into a chunk of cheese, but apparently the texture is such that whatever you are, a person is biting down on, he felt would still have an issue of like Gavina Ben Eshanayim, it would be Gavina Kasha, Parmesan, even if it's small. However, there are cheeses, sprinkled cheeses that are not grated or shredded, but they're powdered, which I mean as follows. They'll take cheese and they will liquefy it. I've been to plants to do this. They spray dry the cheese. They take large blocks of cheese, and they heat them up, they melt them in these large cookers, and they add another water and oil sometimes and flavorings, mm-hmm. They melt them to a liquid, then they spray dry them. In that situation, we're going to get to it soon, that's a different thing. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about Parmesan, which is shredded or grated, which has, you can pick up the pieces and see and feel the texture. You can squeeze it, you're going to feel a really hard thing. In terms of Gavina Kasher, there are three approaches, among modern-day poskim, what qualifies for Gavina Kasher. Namashin Chassam Gavina Kasher, the hardness of cheese. One approach, Rav Heinemann quoted Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Heinemann said he heard it from Aaron Cutler. Rav Heinemann must have been a teenager at the time, but he mentions this, which is only cheese which is so brittle that you can't slice it. I think the star case policy, maybe for restaurants or whatever in Baltimore, is this, that only cheese which is so brittle that you cannot slice it, they would consider it to be a Gavina Kasher, a six-month cheese, so to say, a hard cheese you have to wait after. Therefore, an aged cheddar, even if it's aged 6 months, 10 months, a year, whatever it is, you can slice it. They would say no need to wait. It's only a cheese which you really cannot slice. Parmesan, a good aged Parmesan, you cannot slice. You can grate it. Aged Romano cheese, you cannot slice. It's meant for grating. Actually, if you look in the literature and the regulations, they're called grating cheeses because they're not meant. You can't slice. If you age it normally, you can't slice it. It'll just crumble. It's brittle. It's not going to slice. That's from Heinemann, from his Rebbe Aaron Cutler. The other extreme alternative is many years ago, I think it was Mahadran, I saw recently a cheese that's the same thing, in which they will place on the cheese package the manufacture date. So the consumer will look and see, oh, the cheese is manufactured this date. If I'm buying it now, what date today? Oh, it's 6 months after the time that it was manufactured. I have to wait. That's the extreme alternative. They say, look, I'm not sure how that works, but like low pluke, if it's been aged for 6 months, we're going to wait. The middle of the road shita, which is what the OU's poskim hold by, and this is, I think most poskim really go this way, is as follows. If you buy a cheese in a store, and even if the cheese has, technically it happens to have been 6 months from manufacturing date, but the cheese was not aged in the plant intentionally. It just happens. It's not an aged cheese. Let's say a person buys a mild cheddar, regular cheddar cheese. All the cheddar cheese we buy, say, Ha'olam, whatever regular cheese that we buy, whatever brands we buy, these regular cheddars are not aged. They're called mild cheddar, like regular cheddar. They're not aged. They're aged for a few months. They're not aged 6 months, avada not. But let's say a person were to buy it, aged 2 months in the plant just to get it hard enough, the moisture goes out, and he kept it, it was in the store and in his fridge at home, and it turned out to be 6 months. So unless the texture is noticeably different than it would have been had he bought it more freshly, then the OU's postium and many others say you don't have to wait. It's only cheese which is designed, which is intentionally aged to achieve a certain texture, and then they sell it with that texture. If the cheese that you buy now has been aged 6 months, it happens to be because it was on the shelf, but it's incidentally aged, but it has the same texture as a cheese that was not aged 6 months, don't worry about it. That's the OU's postium position, and that's what many others say. I think that's the most common mahalach for this. Only cheese that intentionally has been aged for 6 months. When they age the cheese, they don't just age it like in the packaging, in the cheese plant. You go to the fancy places, like in France and Italy, they have cheese caves, and they have certain temperature and control of temperature and moisture, and that's just naturally how Hashem made it. They age the cheeses. And in most places, in mass production industrial cheese plants, they don't have this. They have control, just like look at greenhouses, and everything is controlled. So too, they have cheese aging. I've been through aging rooms, aging warehouses. There's warehouses with shelves. I've been through shelves all over the place with all types of cheese blocks and cheese wheels. Some of the cheeses have to be sprinkled or rubbed with water or with oil on the outside to control the moisture. There's certain temperature controls, but it's a scientific thing. That's how cheese is aged. So if a cheese is aged 6 months in those conditions, to a achieve a certain texture, a certain whatever, then you'd wait. If the cheese didn't undergo this process, it was packaged after a month, and then it just happens to have not been consumed. It's in vacuum packaging for another 5 months or so, unless it's noticeably different, noticeably harder, the OU's postium say, don't worry about that. If it is harder, if it happens to be the same as a professionally aged cheese, then of course you'd wait. But if it's the same texture, basically, there's no need to. What about, this is only though for talking about cheeses, the vina kasha, vav chadashim, hardness. What about mishichas tam? So mishichas tam is different. Mishichas tam, actually, cheeses can age, even though they're vacuum packed or whatever they're packed in, however, in these Cyrovac devices, that's what they're called today. These cheeses, though, will age in terms of their tam in the packaging. The reason is because even though the cheese has been packaged, but the cheese cultures, the culture of the bacteria, the healthy bacteria in the cheese when the cheese is made, they don't get killed off when the cheese is packaged. They still exist, and they still, it's called internal ripening. They still ripen the cheese. The cheese is still developing its flavor. The texture will be affected a little bit, but the flavor will continue to develop forever until the cheese is consumed. You can have cheese that's, if you take, a cheddar, whatever type of cheese, and even the texture is not too different, but the cultures, the acid bacteria, are working, and they actually increase, and they work even more strongly now than they did in the cheese factory. They increase their activity, and they'll break down fats, and they'll break down into smaller amino acid groups, and they'll have a stronger acidity and a stronger fat breakdown and degradation. So even though in the packaging there could be mishichas tam, there is mishichas tam taking place once the cheese is packaged on the shelf. So that's something to be aware of. So even the person says, oh, this cheese was just aged. It's not an aged cheese. It's a mild cheddar. But if it was hanging around in packaging for another 7, 8, 9, 10 months, whatever it is, you're probably going to notice the taste is going to be very potent, much more potent. It might not be harder, but very potent. And that would be the type of situation which one person really lahora would have to wait afterwards. About feta cheese. Feta cheese become very popular now. There are a lot of, it's really feta cheese. And the feta cheese I deal with made in Canada. We used to have some feta cheese production made in Bulgaria, which is Greece and Bulgaria, those areas in the Balkans are major feta manufacturers. So feta cheese is interesting. I've only seen one shoe written about waiting after feta. The feta, just to take a step back. Unlike most cheeses, if they are aged, they're aged in dry conditions, and therefore the cheese dries out, and the bacteria and everything is working in the cheese. Feta cheese, though, it's aged actually in brine, in salt water. It's aged in little cans or buckets of salt water. So most feta that we buy, the kosher brands, most of them, maybe all of them, are not aged for so long. But let's say you would have a feta aged for a while. So I saw a tshuva about it. I forgot who wrote it. Chassidus Posek. He was masupik about it, but the reason that feta, even if it's aged a long time, there might not be a need to wait, unless it's very, very potent, is because the cheese is submerged in brine. It's not losing moisture. Normally, vav chadashim, kevav chadashim, whatever, the moisture goes out of the cheese, dehydrated, becomes much more brittle, much stronger, firmer. The texture is much more coarse, but if the cheese is submerged in liquid the whole time, it's not losing. If anything, it's going to absorb the water that it sips in the brine, the salt water is submerged in the solution. So that wouldn't create a problem having feta cheese, even if it's been 6 months in brine, unless it has a mishichas tam. But except for that, the texture, though, is not going to become a brittle texture, it's dehydrating. No, it's actually sitting there becoming waterlogged, so it's, absorbing water, if anything else. What about cheese that is melted? This is a big discussion, melted cheeses. So let's just return to one thing we mentioned about cheese powders. People all the time call us, the OU, the other agencies, I'm sure, as well. They say, I bought popcorn that has cheese flavors. There's one type of snack, I forgot the name of it, I don't eat it, whatever, that has, it says it's made out of aged cheddar. Real aged cheddar, it says. So I looked into this product. Now, it might have been made of aged cheddar, but it's really aged cheddar powder. They take cheddar cheese, and they take aged cheddar, and they add a bunch of water and oil and spices and all types of emulsifiers and whatever of other junk, and they melt it down, and they spray it into liquid. The majority of this of cheese flavors are not even cheese. They're not even cheese. They don't have a hard texture. After that, according to most, you wouldn't have to wait. But there are some more yisodistic issues. There's a famous Yad Yehuda, who one of the great posthum, he talks about this, it's well known, about waiting after cheese, if the cheese has been melted. The Yad Yehuda is talking about a case, l'chora, of a tavshil shel gavina. You have cheese that's melted into another food, like, I don't know, an example, some type of eggplant product maybe that has cheese melted, whatever it is. You have aged hard cheese melted into another food. What about that? So the Yad Yehuda's famous psaki is, you don't have to wait, he says, because in that case, since the cheese has been softened, it loses its firmness, it's not a gavina kush anymore, there's no need to wait afterwards. Not everyone agrees to this. Rav Dov finds that it does not go like this. He holds you have to wait, whether it's been melted or not. You still have to wait after eating in hard cheese, aged cheese, whatever. The melting is not going to help for this. But that's the Yad Yehuda. And Poskim seem to, in generally, many, you know, I think, and the Gilgamesh Poskim do hold to this. Many others hold to this as well. The Yad Yehuda is quoted in a lot of places. Cheese has been melted. But there's one question about this. Assuming we accept the Yad Yehuda, what is he talking about? Some Poskim hold the Yad Yehuda to a very limited application, which isn't really going to, so to say, help us in most cases. The Yad Yehuda is talking about a case, if you look at it, talking about a case which is, it's a tavshil shel gavina. It's a food into which cheese has been melted. Like we have a tavshil shel basar, we can have it in Yerdei and Peites, Sif Beis, Sif Dalet, I think it is. You have a product in which you have some meat melted into it and be like some type of soup or some flesh into it. It's not, you know, pieces of it, not even congealed. So too here, you have a food in which there has been melted in some aged, hard, brittle cheese. So that's what he's referring to there. However, though, so some poskim say, this is the way you poskim say this also, that yeah, this only helps for cheese that has been melted into another tavshil. If you have cheese that's been melted by itself, say you take some aged hard cheddar, melt it onto bread, and you see it on the surface, melted cheese, grilled cheese, or make pizza out of Parmesan cheese, it wouldn't help, because it's not tavshil shel gavina, it's gavina. The cheese is on the surface, it's not going to help. The Yad is only talking about a case in which the cheese is mixed in, not really so discernible, however that works. However, though, the logic of the Yad Yehuda, and the body of Shulchan learns this way, others learn this way itself, logically, he said, even shenis rakha machmas habishul, he says, you don't have to wait. Since the cheese has been soften from the bishul, not to wait. The logic is that the cheese's texture is different. The hardness of the cheese has been eliminated. The cheese is no longer being a kasha. It's not a brittle, hard cheese that's going to stick in your teeth. It's melted. Even after it hardens, it doesn't have the same brittleness to it anymore, same coarseness to it anymore. So the logic of the Yad Yehuda would be for any cheese. Our salvation from YU held that, and the Yad Bani Shulchan, I think, said the same thing, that any cheese that's been melted, say American cheese, people don't know how it's made. American cheese basically is cheddar cheese, usually junky cheddar cheese. It's melted down. They add some additives to it, but it's mostly cheese. And they melt it and they reform it into blocks, and they make it into slices and sell it in grocery stores. So American cheese, according to this, you would not have to wait, because even if it's made out of aged cheddar, which it wouldn't be, but even if it would be quality, top quality American cheese, so to say, you wouldn't have to wait. But some would say you do have to wait. They say only a tavshil shel gavina, the idea they're talking about, which is some type of product in which the cheese is barely discernible. It's not really a be'en. But if the cheese is separate be'en, you would have to wait. But the logic of the Yad Yehuda, and the Badi Yishuk is learning this way, is that any cheese that has been melted, has been liquefied, the texture is gone, and therefore you don't have to wait afterwards.
How do you define if it's a robusto or not?
I don't. I've asked before. I don't. It's seemingly, if it's a separate thing that you can remove from it, separate pieces, separate cheese. You can say macaroni and cheese, right? You can take the cheese, you can separate it out from macaroni. Other things that the cheese has been melted in, the flavor of the cheese, you know, you can. But it's not going to. Something that's not going to be discernible. It's not going to be a separate entity. You can take out with a spoon or whatever. That's the impression that I have. Trying to remember, there's some souffles, for instance. I was told that, you know, they use cheeses in them, in which the cheese is melted in vegetable souffles. Cheese is not a separate layer, but cheese is used one of the ingredients melted into it. That's an example. The Parmesan, I think isn't it a separate layer there? I've never had it, to be honest. I'm very limited in my food choices. I apologize.
Sometimes it's cooked in soup.
That'd be a good, perfect example. Yeah, cheese cooked in a soup. Exactly. Yeah, some soups have cheese. Not a French onion soup with cheese a layer, but say soup in which there's cheese that's been melted into the soup for flavor. That would be an example. Yad Yehuda would definitely apply to a case like that. Yeah. That would be a good example. Okay. Are there any questions in the meantime before we continue?
Are there any cheeses that you find in the store that you have to wait 6 hours for?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
100%. The Parmesan cheese, even though it's ground, you have to wait 6 hours?
Parmesan you wait for. Aged cheddar or sharp cheddar, they're always aged 6 months.
Ground cheese, it's ground. It's a piece of stuff placed itself.
Yeah, Rabelsky said you have to wait. You have to wait. Not if it's been liquefied. If you buy Parmesan flavor or whatever it is, you don't have to wait. But if it's if you have grated, then you'd have to wait for that. Also, Swiss cheese. There are a lot of different types of Swiss cheeses. The Swiss cheese, the one that we buy in America, let's say, is made in Ohio normally. That's not aged. It's aged for 3 to 4 months. It's not real aged cheese. Swiss cheese made in Switzerland is definitely aged. And there are different types of Swiss cheese. There's regular Swiss. There's Gruyere cheese. There's Jarlsberg cheese. All types of things. We haven't come across them. They're not available kosher most of the time, once in a while. But these cheeses are cheeses in which they're made in Switzerland. You definitely would have to wait for them, 100%. Romano cheese, if you buy that, you'd have to wait. A lot of these, especially Italian cheeses I mentioned, you'd have to wait for. But the most common ones would be aged cheddar, Swiss from Switzerland. They haven't sold it in the kosher for a while. Schmerling used to import. They haven't sold it here for, I don't know why, for years. What's that?
They're from Holland, no?
Oh, yeah, yes. You're talking about...
Gouda.
Yeah, they're very good. So Gouda cheese, there is regular Gouda, aged Gouda. Regular Gouda cheese, pashas, you don't have to wait. If there's aged Gouda cheese, it might not be aged 6 months, but it's apparently the Mashiach's tam. I haven't tasted it. I'm very finicky. But either way, the Mashiach's tam apparently is very, very strong for aged Gouda, sharp Gouda. It's not necessarily, it might be aged 3 or 4 months, but it's very, very strong flavor, and that you'd have to wait. I don't know if they have a kosher version of it, but that would be a good example. Regular Gouda, I'm not sure. Belsky used to tell people, taste it and see how pungent it is. See if it's noticeably pungent, or if it is, you'd have to, and if not, not.
Is this one?
I'm not sure. He just said ask the person to tell them if it's noticeably pungent. Maybe the aftertaste or something like that. Maybe it tastes more than just stama, or any other maicho, other food. I'm not sure.
When you have grated cheese, so that if you have very fine, like Parmesan, really fine, it's grated. Then when you melt it, it really comes in the center of it with the tapshi.
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe that would be a good example of a vina. Yeah, tashas
shalom. You still have the hetzel of the aduda at that point, right? Even though you start off with something which is much smaller.
100%. That's a very good point. 100%. That would be a good example. Very good example. Right. And all the cheese flavors we had, I mentioned, whether it's in popcorn, all these things that have cheese flavors in them, in that case, the Yad Yehuda would apply. So if you hold the Yad Yehuda, everyone within the Yad Yehuda would apply, because all these cheese flavors, only the minority is cheese. The minority of it is some type of original cheese. Majority of it is water, oil, other additives, flavor, spices, and my sweeteners, and all these cheese flavors, whether it's any snack food that has, if it actually has real cheese, which is normally, there's a cracker, remember, in England they used to give hashkacha to, and there they actually bought, it was strange, it's a gourmet cracker, they actually had pieces of aged cheddar, especially on the crackers, right? Probably a very expensive cracker, but in that case, you have to wait, avada. English aged cheddar, you have to wait. But cheeses that have the cheese flavor, they're the cheese in the minority of the flavor, and they're melted down, so the Yad Yehuda Avada would apply to those cases. Any questions in the meantime? Okay, so maybe let's discuss some little, just going back a little bit to the little lumdus of this, perhaps. Yeah, please, Rashad. Yeah, please.
Sometimes you go to a bris and you give like a platter with a bunch of cheeses. I don't know what those cheeses are. Like, if it's one loaf, 6 hours or not.
I'm not really sure. The best thing, if there's a Mashiach there, or maybe the Bali Simcha, if they're available, to ask them what kind of cheese they order for the platter. Because if it's a nice chashuva thing, then there could be a chance to have to wait. Yeah. The reason I say that is because in the old days, the kosher cheese that we had were just the only thing I can think of is the Schmerling imported from Switzerland, which doesn't even exist anymore in the U.S. in the past several years. Except for that, none of the cheeses that we bought on the shelves, the regular Holam, regular brands, really, none of them were really Gavina Kasha. They didn't have, but now there are so many. I deal with one company, it's called The Cheese Guy. You've probably seen their stuff. A lot of it's called Israel. It's good stuff. They get their cheeses. So much of it is imported from Italy, and I've researched these cheeses. We have a Mashiach to me, for everything, but I've researched them. So many of these cheeses are aged cheeses. They're made in Europe. They have, it's called, DOP. I forgot what it stands for. It's an Italian term, but it means the cheese is trademarked. You cannot call the cheese this name unless it has certain conditions. It has to. Certain cheeses have to come from certain herds of sheep for the milk. They have to come from certain areas territorially. They have to use certain type of coagulant, certain types of cultures. They have to be made in a certain style. Only then can you call it this label, this type of cheese. And if you don't do that, you're in trouble with the government. So today there are actually a lot of kosher cheeses, imported cheeses that are mamas, whether Mashiach's Tam or whether giving a kasha, aged cheese that actually have these qualifications. So today it is a real shiloh. There's even Parmesan. There's Parmigiano. There are two types of Parmesan that are certified. They'll use certified as the one that doesn't have any animal rennet. There's another hechsher that actually they do where they claim that they had developed kosher animal rennet for this, and they're miyabish the rennet, eights and so forth. And in both cases, they had these trademark cheeses in which their cheese is aged. One of them is aged. The one I deal with, it's made in South America, is aged 24 months. It's all microbial, artificial rennet, whatever. And there's another agency. Theirs is aged, I think, 18 to 20 months, something like that. But both of these, Avada, Gavina, Kasha, and you'd have to wait for this. It's much more prevalent than it used to be. In the old days, most people would say it doesn't exist. You know, we don't have these things, except for Parmesan. It's very pasha what it is. As far as I know, a slice on a cheese platter, it'll be in a shaker or something like that. But that's that. Oh, so those cheeses are never aged cheeses. That's a good question, actually. In America, anywhere you go, unless you go to a gourmet place and they have like these four cheese pizzas and they're really using a real gourmet cheese, like really using a sharp cheddar or something like that, or they're using they're melting a Romano cheese or something like that, and then that'll be the shaila how the Yad Yehuda works. If you say the Yad Yehuda, like the Bari HaShulchan, it's melted, don't worry about it, the texture is gone. And even if it rehardens, it's not going to be the same. The texture is here, it's liquid, you can stretch it and pull it, texture is gone, so you wouldn't have to wait. Others would say you would, but to be honest though, none of the pizzas that I'm not on, maybe even these in pizzas and restaurants as much like these things, but none of these, I doubt there any of the places that we would go to would have these cheeses. Even if they use various cheeses, like a three or four cheese pizza, usually they're not going to be aged cheeses. They're not usually going to be. That's the thing. The strength, I shouldn't say, all respect. I know the minig eretz yisrael, they say is to wait after these cheeses. But I'm not sure how that works, because all the cheeses that are used on pizza, mozzarella is the most common, Munster cheese. A lot of the time, these frozen pizzas you buy, they look at a lot of times it's Munster cheese, it looks like mozzarella. It doesn't taste the same, but it's close enough when you melt it and put sauce and spices and cook it up. These cheeses, Avada, they're not aged 6 months. In fact, mozzarella cheese is unusual. Mozzarella cheese, in order to make it elastic so it stretches and melts well onto cheeses, after the cheese is made, they have a process called the pasta filata process, in which mozzarella cheese is put into a cooker. They take the cheese, it's a large block of cheese, they put it into what's called a cooker. It's like a large bathtub, has augers, it has these pieces of metal that push and pull and stretch and squeeze the cheese and make it elastic while there's hot water, 180 degrees, it's in a bath of hot water while it's being stretched and pulled and pushed in all directions to make it elastic. This cheese, mozzarella cheese, can't age. It can't age because once it's been cooked, it kills the bacteria in the cheese that'll preserve it. So if you let mozzarella age, it'll become, I've seen it before, become rancid. It'll become black, rotten, unusable. All the kelev is, it can't be eaten. So mozzarella cheese, avada. But I'm not, the kitchen though, all the cheese that are used, especially all the mass pizza places, none of them are aged cheese. Mozzarella is normally aged for 30 days. You can't age mozzarella longer. It'll become rancid. It'll become rotten. So I'm not, the minig is, and there's still people say to wait. I'm not sure how.
If you go to like a restaurant, and let's say France,
you should probably find out what kind, for like melted products, you mean?
Yeah.
It probably not going to be anyway. It wouldn't hurt to ask, but it's probably not going to be. Not because they don't have good cheese. They'll probably be the fancy cheeses, but any cheese they're going to melt. The cheeses you melt are not usually the aged cheese. The aged cheeses, they're hard to melt. They're very brittle. And the Mashiach's Tam cheeses, like the blue cheese with the veins, or these Mashiach's Tam cheeses, rye cheese, Camembert. These are not cheeses that you just don't melt them. It destroys them to melt them. And the real aged cheeses don't melt well anyway. So that's why it's just not. It's not really. I mean, you can ask, but I wouldn't. It's going to be very.
Does the attitude apply for both times?
Oh, great. I said, thank you. That's the last thing I was mentioning here before. Pashtus not. Pashtus is only referring to Kivina Kashi. It says, the whole point of the Adi Yehuda, the whole concern, he's addressing himself at least, is the concern of the hardness of the cheese. Shichas tam, the chor would not help. Right, according to the, that fits into that. If you were to go to a place, Liyut Seer, that they would serve pizza made out of melted blue cheese, and blue cheese, Roquefort, real full blue cheese, Mshichas Tam Kuliyama. I've never had it, but I know if you read the cheese stuff, I'm sure some people here had it. Kuliyama, that you'd have to wait for. Yad Yehuda would not. I don't see why it should apply. He's talking about the texture, not about the tam. The tam shouldn't change. The tam shouldn't change. Tam might even be stronger once it's cooked. A lot of the time, cooking brings out the flavor. So the chur Yad Yehuda would not help. He's only talking about that. It could be Yad Yehuda himself, who was only held of the, which is the pashas, the ramah, Kasha, just like the Shach Vav Chadashim, it could be that the Mashiach's Tam wasn't even in his cheshbon. So maybe I wasn't even in hold of that. It's Bechlal in general, whether melts or not.
What would be the difference between Kasha and Mashiach's Tam? Either way, the time, the science behind time is that it does both. It makes it hard and it makes the taste strong.
In that case, the only difference would be melting. Melting would be different. Or if somehow if you the plates, we hold both reasons. If a person somehow opposed it, were to be bar hachi and say I'm passing like the shach, I'm not passing shicham, I'm not going like the taz. Okay, then that would be an afkamina. But it's true that but a lot of the cheeses will have both reasons. A lot of the time to develop the tam, you have to age a long time. Not necessarily, but the longer you age a cheese, even if it wouldn't be a mashiach's tam cheese normally, the more likely it's going to develop a strong flavor because those cultures are working and they're increasing. The cultures actually increase in the cheese over time. We think of things dying out over time. Here the cultures will increase and it'll take over the cheese, so to say, by the time they'll mushroom into, by the time they accelerate their processes, the more longer the cheese is before it's consumed, even in wrapping, even in vacuum sealed packaging. Right. They should be using it. They should. It's always kedai to check. I say it's always kedai to check. 100%. It's always kedai to check. Maybe not, but if they're honest, they should be using it. According to the at least one way to learn the Adi Yehuda, the Machmirim, that would be a 6-hour concern.
Is there ways of artificially speeding up the process?
Oh, good question. Actually, not really. People ask this question, and not really. Artificially, you can add lipase, which lipase will bring out will break down the fat, it'll decompose the fat, and that will create a mashiach's tam. But the only way to harden it is through just letting the cheese sit out and dehydrate, lose moisture. That's the only way to do it. Yeah, really. Yeah. What?
It has tam, a strong tam.
Yeah.
But it has the tam of a 6-month cheese.
Right. If it has the tam, which means a shichas tam, if it has a pungency, then regardless of the age, it will be an issue. There's a lot of cheeses that are 6-month cheeses are not necessarily strong in their flavor. So there's no way to necessarily a person can't like say a 6-month cheddar. An aged cheddar. A lot of the time, it might not be so strong. So unless you use lipase or other types of enzymes, but some it might not be so strong. So if a person were to until a person actually has that yibush, until it loses moisture and becomes so firm, that texture that it's 6 months aged, it's not gonna. There's nothing that can accelerate it. So we're on safe ground until then. Any other questions in the meantime? It won't do anything because the thing is that the cheese, the moisture is deep in the cheese. The whole cheese is permeated with whey. The whey, there's whey, which is liquid, between every throughout between the protein and fat, the matrix of casein and the protein and the fat, which is what the cheese is. There's moisture throughout the whole thing, so there's no way to really do that. If you dehydrate it, you'll have cheese on the outside is like dried out and probably like fruit leather or like prunes or something, and the inside of it's going to be a nice moist moist cheese. So it probably wouldn't help. But it's interesting, if you go to cheese factories, when they first, the first several days after cheese made it, through some blocks or whatever it is, you'll see it's dripping. They have it on these wooden, it's in wooden containers, and they're full of holes, and they have it elevated above the ground. It's just dripping and dripping and dripping. And then after that, they can then put it into aging atmosphere if they want to do that, and then it won't be dripping, but it'll still be losing moisture. It'll be dehydrating throughout, the entire internal, external, the whole cheese will be drying out throughout that.
Most places give all that little dust here.
I don't know. I never asked anybody else, to be honest. I always went. He was the one I viewed as the mumche in so many things, but especially in cheese, including in cheese.
You know, if most people hold
the Sheikha's
town in terms of these
cheeses, that's
the
Gobas and
that.
I'm not sure if I
can. Right. Most places hold that if that's town, that then you will be machmir.
Yeah, 100%.
Not the kosher part.
Yeah, 100%, definitely, 100%. Yeah. The Prima Gadim has both reasons. The Chachma Sadim said we hold the both reasons, the Mashiach's Tam and the Kasha. The Aruch HaShulchan favors Vina Kasha, but he also Mashiach's Tam he holds of as well. So that's the way that we have accepted the Halacha. That both reasons we're Hoshesh, we're Makpidan, so to say. Yeah, I'll finish off with one thing, maybe if it's okay. The Ramah is the one who brings this minig to wait after Gvina Kasha. The Machaber surprisingly doesn't bring it, even though the Beis Yosef in Or Chaim, the Beis Yosef has the idea, quotes from the Maram about waiting after cheese, but in the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber doesn't bring this. It's very interesting. We know that there's a machlokus also that it wasn't even though the Ramah has, and that's how we have the Kabbalist. But we know that there's the famous Marashal, and the Shach quotes it, and the Gor quotes it, which he calls it minus. He has to wait after hard cheese is minus. The Gemara talks about waiting after flesh, after buster, waiting after gavina. The Gemara, you don't have to wait. I mean, it's thinking about a minute waiting, waiting a certain amount of time. You have to clean the mouth, rinse the mouth, wash the hands, or anything like that. But waiting per se, waiting 6 hours, whatever it is, there's no thing. So he says it's minus. But and again, that might be. With the Machaber himself, who doesn't paskin, he doesn't mention in Yerodea anything about waiting at all after hard cheese. So it could very well be that this machlokus really, just want to take it a step back, really that the machlokus here really reflects another more fundamental machlokus. We know that I mentioned before that the Rambam has the idea in the end of Parak Tes Machsuros of wait for Basar Ben Shinayim waiting. He says they're waiting 6 hours. He says waiting 6 hours, and the Torah passes this way, the Rosh passes this way. That's very possible. But the famous Tosafos, you know, this is on in Kufay and Chulin, that he said Ben Sula Suda after the in Berech Silichas Shulchan. You benched, you cleaned the table, from milchig table, fleshy table, whatever it is, after having fleshig, you can have milchigs afterwards. And the Ramah himself says if you kinu chadacha and you change tablecloth, whatever it is, after the suda, the next suda, you can start right away. You have to wait at all. The Nikradin. The Ramah says the Arminah goes to wait an hour and they start 6 hours, but the Ramah Nikradin kinu chadacha. After you bench, next meal right away, you can go into after fleshiks. You can have milchiks. And it's based on Tosfos. It says in suda suda. So what's this machlokus all about? What's machlokus all about? It says I'll be done before married. Okay. That so lechora the shita of the Rambam and the shita of the Machaber and those who and the Torah and the Rush and that whole group of Rishonim, they're saying that lechora that the iser of the idea of hamtana of waiting after flesh, after Basar, before Chala, before Gavina, is a Hamshacha, is a continuation, extension of the Isser of Basar B'Chalav. Because Ben HaShinayim, if there's a Basar Ben HaShinayim, the Rambam says, it's going to be a problem. Even though only Basar and Chalav, if there's Bishul and Mevushal together, the rice is an issue. But if there's non-Mevushal together, it's Rabbanan is still a problem. For the Chora, that's the idea. This is a Hamshach, this is a Hemshach. The Isser of Basar B'Chalav, and it's been Nimshach to Rabbanan, into this, and therefore requires waiting. You can't have them even not cooked together. You can't have them together, and therefore we wait. That's the idea of the Chora of the Rambam and the Machaber and those in that group of Rishonim Poskim. Whereas the Chora of the Eftosis would be that it's really an additional, it's additional level of Precious, additional level of Heker, of Havdalah, of Precious. It's not part of the Gufa Isser, it's not an extension of the Isser. It's a new thing that we're Mosifan, a new Harhaka, a new Precious, Havdalah, we're Mosifan. We want just to show how moved all we are from it. We're gonna separate them by having that not the same soup. You have to separate, wait till the next Suda. Ramah, you have to do kinu chadacha, but that's the idea. Concerned Basar ben Shinayim and so forth, that's not part of the cheshbon. It's an additional level. That lechor might be the machlokas here, the machaber lemor, just to finish it up. The machaber here, why doesn't he bring this? Why bring this after waiting? Because he says, since the isser of Basar on the hamtana, waiting after Basar before Chalav, is a hamshacha of the isser deraisa of Basar b'chalav, Therefore, after challah before basar, you can't apply it. There is no such issur. Like the Maharshal says, it's minus. You're mosif ala Talmud, the way the Shach explained the Maharshal. You're creating a new issur out of nowhere. The Gemara says beferish is mutter. You're creating a new issur. Creating an issur basar b'challah doesn't exist. But if you say that really it's a new level, it's an additional level of precious, not a hamshach of the issur, a new level of precious, right? The Gemara said, that's the idea of the Ramah. This new level of precious, you're adding on a new thing, and therefore like Rav Chista, challah b'chamra, I'm adding on, and my father was even more so, you got whatever you want. You're making up you're doing something new. You're not distorting the Torah. You're making something new. You're not most of all Talmud. You're making a new level of precious, of Hecker. It's not voluntarily a precious. That's the idea of her. Based upon this, to finish it off, this would be perhaps a siyua of those who don't accept the Yad Yehuda, because since this whole machlokus stems from the original idea of Hamtana, we know that Hamtana, after Basar, even if the basar is mavushal, even if it's a tavshul shal basar, the Ramah says, any basar there, we wait. We don't say, oh, the basar bin shenayim, it's softened, it doesn't stick in my teeth, or the basar, it's a soup, a thin fleshy soup. No, the Ramah says, even in that case, we have to do hamtana, we wait. Even though no basar bin shenayim concern, we wait anyway. So it could be, if we, like Gavina, the same thing. We say, go by the Heftza. The Heftza, if we're treating Gavina Kasha, Heftza and Kasha, like basar, we're equating it, whether it's a tavshil shel basar, or a real basar, or nispashel, or hard, or soft, or ground, we wait. Therefore, after it's Heftza, Gavina Kasha, whether it's been modified afterwards, the same type, that type of cheese, this min of cheese, we wait. And that'll be the idea of maybe not going like the Yad Yehuda. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a good night. I appreciate it. I've always noticed that.